The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to titoshometowntales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's titoshometowntales.com.
Cap and J-Hood are in Vernon Hills as fans board the shuttles for training camp.
Watch on the ESPN 1000 Chicago channel on Twitch.
So the Bills take over, and it is time for Mitch Trubisky. A fairly warm reception, I would say.
I think so. I think Bears respect him. He worked extremely hard. He played through injuries here. He never pointed the finger at himself. Always really wanted to pump up his teammates. And, you know, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. The Bears did place a fifth-year option on him. He does have a winning record. Probably landed in a good spot in Buffalo behind Josh Allen to really, really grow as a young quarterback offensively.
Trubisky, another throw. This time it's Gabriel Davis making the grab. Trubisky, another toss, looking for a tight end, and he's got Dawson Knox, who had a productive year with Josh Allen. Empty set for Trubisky. Another quick throw, another completion, and a good gain on first down to Gabriel Davis. Trubisky, another quick slant, and McKenzie's got it. Four-man rush, Trubisky throws, and it is complete. Good job by Isaiah McKenzie to grab it. Pitch, Singletary. On the perimeter with the cut and the first down, and he's got the touchdown. Robert Quinn couldn't get him in the open field, and Jackson couldn't get him out of bounds. It's 6-0. Blitz coming. Trubisky rolling, Mack chasing. Trubisky rifles it past the sticks for a first down to Davis. Four-man rush. Flag is thrown. Trubisky to the outside for the speedster McKenzie. Second and goal for this versatile, flexible Buffalo offense that has a lot of pieces to it. Fake to Davis out of the backfield. Trubisky on the run, finding Kumerow. That's a touchdown. Communication from the coaching staff, and he's been coaching up Trubisky on the sidelines. Mitch Lawson for a completion to Jacob Hollister. Upended by Kendall Vildor. Trubisky into a tight window, and it's a conversion for Jacob Hollister. And it's 21-0 Buffalo. Trubisky's got a man down the seam. It is the tight end. Jacob Hollister has made some good plays. Trubisky rolling. Fires to the sideline for Kumerow. And it's a catch for Jake Kumerow. Tyler Bass from 41 makes it all Buffalo in the first half. 34-6 Bills. Good work from Mitch Trubisky. I'm sure that felt good for the former Bears quarterback.
It didn't feel good for us, I mean, not at all.
No, Mitchell Trubisky got on that plane cackling, going, I'm on a team, I might get a ring. I know I'm a backup, but guess what? Take that. Yeah. Wow.
So Bears.
And again, I am not advocating that he should have been here. No, they've moved on. Good. Good for Mitch. Good for the Bears. Move on. Blah, blah, blah. I'm just telling you, man. Just telling you. Maybe, just maybe, they didn't utilize him to the best of their abilities here. But pre-snap motion, all of that. So
it's all encompassing though, Cap. It's not just one thing. It is Nagy's coaching, it's Trubisky's inability. Look, we've heard the stories often on the record regarding Trubisky. And I mean, not on the field, but not in practice. And some of the things where there was a complete disconnect between Trubisky and the Bears coaching staff.
Correct.
To the point where I think at times Matt was just like, I can't work with MT10. I can't work with that. And you know what? That's fair. If you feel like you can't get the most out of Mitch Trubisky, he doesn't get it, or he doesn't get you, that's why you have a divorce. That's why teams and coaches move on. But there are no more excuses. I will say this all season long. The hallmark of this show is for the Bears, there are no more excuses. It's not, well, you know, the offensive line isn't perfect. Well, the running game is exact. No. Because now you get a second bite of the apple. Most coaches, most young coaches, don't get a second bite of the apple. Nagy's getting the second bite. We'll see what happens now. Whether it's Fields or Dalton, this is on you to be able to make the offense better. Get us out of the 20s, for God's sakes.
Let me just read you something my friend Jim sent me, and he's exactly right. He goes,
Jim Miller?
No.
Oh.
My friend Jim Kizio.
Oh, good man.
Jim said, Cap, I agree. How the Bears spent their quarterback money. Dalton is as common as they come, makes $10 million. Mitch is making $2.5 million. Who made the better signing? Plus, Foles is on the bench earning over $8 million for a third stringer, while they've got Jake Fromm earning $3.5 million. as their third stringer. Oh, and by the way, when they drafted in the lottery, basically, they got Josh Allen. He's a franchise quarterback. He's a stud. Talk about horrific decision.
Oh, hey. And this is really what Pace is, right? There's been a number of things that he's hit on real well, but the things that he swung and missed on are ugly. Bowling shoe ugly, for sure.
Bowling shoe ugly. That's well put.
And as a side note, once again, if you didn't see it at Georgia, you saw it on the field on Saturday. Who's a better quarterback, Cap? Justin Fields or Jake Fromm?
Yeah.
You take that.
Take that.
Take that as me. I'll take it as a Georgia fan. You saw him out there, Fromm.
Was that Mark Richt who made that decision
at that point? That's Kirby.
Oh, it was Kirby already. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to our callers, 312-332-3776. Philly Mike is in Arlington Heights. What's up, Philly Mike?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
A few comments real quick. I was at the game Saturday. You could have put the number 17 on 10. He looked just like Josh Allen. That offense was run how that offense is run. That just goes to show you that the Bears need an offensive coordinator. Simple as that. Not a head coach in Matt Nagy calling the plays. Matt Nagy is a good coach, I believe. He's in the NFL. He's a good coach. But just stop calling plays. You let somebody else do that job. Jake Kumerow, local product, catching touchdowns against the Bears. Number one defense. Is that going to happen to the Bears? What's going on, Bears fans?
Yep. Appreciate the call, Mike.
Let's address it. We appreciate it.
So when you look at Buffalo and you see how – do you remember when Matt was first here? Was it the 2018 or 2019 season? Maybe Meller remembers. I can't remember. They went to Buffalo. Nathan Peterman played at quarterback because I believe Josh Allen was injured.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bears won like 41-9, something like that. They just destroyed him.
Yeah.
We looked like we were the rocket ship going to the next level, and now here we are in 2021. Not that much farther down the road. That team looks like it can win a Super Bowl, and the Bears look awful.
The Bears Saturday looked awful, but we stick to our guns and believe that the Bears will be a playoff team in the NFC. I still believe that.
I hope you're right.
But the problem is, though, is that if you're not healthy – and if you have ineptitude offensively, you're not going anywhere. I will tell you again, I'm still concerned about what we see from this defense as well. Cap, if you're not winning, if you're not a serious contender for the Super Bowl in the next couple of years, you understand that the defense is going to go, those veterans will be gone, and you're going to deal with young players. That's going to be a problem.
Correct. Now, I told you last week, the starting defense this year is going to be 24 and a half years average age, but Khalil Mack, other side of 30. Akeem Hicks, other side of 30. Robert Quinn, other side of 30, and we haven't seen anything out of him yet.
Right.
At some point, your key guys are aging. Danny Trevathan, aging.
Right.
You better start replacing certain guys.
Turn that defense over, and then who knows what that defense will look like. I mean, because here's the thing. This will be whatever it's going to look like, Cap. It'll not look anything like the Fangio defense.
Correct.
So how's that going to get better?
Let's go back to the phones. Alan in Riverwoods. Hey, Alan, what's up, man?
Hi, I just want to say a couple things. I'm 81 years old, and I've been a Bear fan. And I remember George Halas in 1963 when the Bears won the championship. In the preseason, they looked like crap. At the start of the season, they started to be very good. And George Halas made a comment. He said, during preseason, all I want to do is get my people to try six or seven plays that we could beat the Green Bay Packers, and that's all I cared about from being healthy. I think we overemphasize preseason. I think it's to get in shape, see what the rookies can do, and they know prior to these games approximately what could be. However, on the other side, I will say this. Nagy seems to be a very stubborn coach. I haven't seen him run four or five running plays this whole preseason in a row. And you have to have some continuity. And that's my major beef with Nagy. He just doesn't seem to get it. He wants to be the smartest man in town.
Alan,
I'll listen to your comments.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. Look, here's the thing. This is not
Did you like the comments there from Irv Kupcinet from
Exactly.
The Grade? Check it in. Good. So good to hear, Irv.
And Allen brings some valid points to the table. However, Hoodie, back in the 60s, guys would work like at a car dealership in the offseason.
That's correct.
Or they would be a salesman on the road doing whatever, and then they use training camp to get in shape. That's not what this is. This is multi-millionaires who spend 12 months a year training their body, training their mind, getting themselves ready for an NFL season. Training camp's not about getting in shape. And I said this to you last week. Can we stop calling this training camp? It's freaking practice. They practice one time a day. The other day, they ran a couple drills, and then Matt said, take all the pads off. We're too banged up. Come on. What is going on?
I thought football was a sport of aggression. Is that what football is?
Supposed to be.
Aggression? Okay, well, you take the aggression out, you take the hittings out, you take the pads off, then what do you have? You see, that's a walkthrough. That's what it is, right? It's easy for my chair to say it, but I just know I saw it from my own eyes in Platteville and some in Bourbonnais, where it's about physicality, getting your body ready for the pounding that is a 17-week season, right?
Correct.
Like, don't take it from me. You and I both know former Bears and former athletes that played football that know the rigors of going through a real training camp. Not just practice, not just a walkthrough, but just getting ready. That doesn't necessarily mean break the bones of your own teammates. We're not saying that. But you just want to make sure that you're mentally and physically tough and ready for a tough season. And I don't know if we see that in the NFL.
All right, Fields or Dalton? The great Warren Moon. Next.
The training camp shuttles are loading in Vernon Hills. Cap and Jay Hood are there on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app.
Pressure on Fields. Oh, the helmet came off. That's going to be a flag as well. And that ball is loose. Lots to sort out. Fields, good to see him back up on his feet. That was a jarring shot from Andre Smith.
Personal foul. Left in the pass for a defense from a 59. 15-yard penalty, automatic first down.
Now, whether it's a hot or whether they change the protection, this is what you worry about with a young quarterback. Clearly, he's looking the opposite direction. And as you mentioned, Smith had a direct beeline. He was not picked up at all. Nothing derailed him from getting off his path.
Yeah, we're lucky that our franchise quarterback wasn't dead after that hit. Yeah, whatever. It was flagged. Whatever. He went down, and I went, oh, God. It looked like he almost died on that
hit. Yeah, thank goodness he did not.
I guess good news, Jermaine Effetti has been cleared. He's back at practice. Mm-hmm. So he will work out today. Jason Peters is there. So maybe, just maybe, you look at the offensive line and go, all right, wait a second now. We'll get Effetti, who played well last year at right tackle, back. You got Cody White here. You got James Daniels. You got Bars and Mustafa inside that they can use. Mustafa will start at center. And then you have Jason Peters at left tackle.
You know what stinks, Cap? You know what stinks? What stinks is that the third preseason game, like historically the fourth preseason game, does not matter. So
correct.
So how much of the starts are we really going to see in this third preseason game? See, this is the difference between a couple years ago and now. The third preseason game would be everything. That was supposed to be Saturday, all in.
Dress rehearsal.
Everybody gets in, though, for that second one. But this one here against Tennessee, who's going to be out there?
Let me ask you something. I'm making you...
Like, is Allen Robinson going to play on...
Highly doubtful.
Okay.
Okay, you're the coach of the Bears.
Yep.
You watched that mess on Saturday, but you had a bunch of starters not play. You see everything going on in practice. We hear that it's been spotty. So here's the question. Are you playing Jason Peters, Jermaine Effetti, Allen Robinson, David Montgomery, Cole Kmet, all those guys offensively? Are you playing the whole lot of them going, we need to work, and then finding out, oh, God, we had two starters go down for the year?
Nope. You're damn right they're playing. You're damn right.
Agreed.
You know why?
Agreed.
Even though they might have a couple of years, talking about Nagy and Pace have a couple of years left on their deal, maybe I need to see them play. I need them to feel the skin in the game. We're just going through the motions in practice. It's not really training camp, right? They need to play. It's not necessary for me as a fan. For his team, they need to be out there. You're damn right they should be out there.
Agreed. 100%.
They should have been out there against Buffalo.
So,
all of them.
Warren Moon, you found this.
Yep.
Some great audio. Warren Moon, Hall of Famer, guy who had a really long career in the NFL and the CFL, has been around and seen it all.
Yeah, he was on with JD over the weekend.
Who would he start, Dalton or Fields?
You look at somebody like a Justin Fields who's going to a Chicago Bears team who went to the playoffs last year, or I think Mac Jones, who's going to New England. You know, New England has a very, very good roster. They made a lot of improvements in the offseason with free agency. A lot of those opted-out guys are coming back from last year. So when you have a young quarterback going into those type of situations, they have a much better ability to have success because they have a better infrastructure around them.
And, Warren, when would the coaching staff know? Let's say Justin Fields begins the year on the bench in Chicago as expected. I mean, Andy Dalton will be the starting quarterback. He'd take all the reps, you know, in practice when the regular season gets here. What are some signs that the coaching staff would see to know that, okay, eventually it is Justin Fields' time? And when do you put the young quarterback in after he sits for a while?
When you're losing ball games. I think that's the best time to put him in. If Andy Dalton is not playing well and the team's losing and you just see that the team is not, you know, following Andy Dalton as their leader, that might be the time to make that change. I think if they wanted to start Justin Fields to start the season, they could, but I think it's better if he sits and waits. The longer he waits, I think it's just better for him. But if the team gets off to a terrible start, like they have a very tough schedule to start the season with, especially their first two ball games, you know, if they end up being 1-3 or 0-4 or something like that, maybe it's time to make that change really early, because you don't want to lose the football team completely. At least you have a chance to maybe get back into playoff contention, even if you get off to a bad start, but you'd have to start winning some football games. But I think that's when a team really knows. If the quarterback's not playing well and if the team has shown they're not responding to that quarterback, you got to make that change.
Well, there it is. He laid it out for you. I believe that that's how it's going to go, that Dalton will start the first few games for the Bears, and eventually we're going to see Justin Fields. And when I say that, maybe the Bears are going to be 2-2. Maybe they will win 3 games out of 5. I'm not sure. But I believe that Fields could have the lion's share of the time.
Okay, so...
Could.
I know where you come down on this because you've opined a lot on it eloquently. Mm-hmm. Danny, Jeff, the one thing I keep hearing is, well, it's Sunday Night Football, it's the Rams. It's not like they're the defending Super Bowl champs with 21 of 22 starters back. They went and dumped their quarterback and went and got Matthew Stafford. He may be good, he may not. Hold on a second. We're worried about, well, it's Sunday night, it's a lot of pressure. Justin Field played at freaking Ohio State. He played in the national championships. You're telling me that the lights are too bright for this kid to play opening week? Stop. Are you kidding me? Do you guys not agree with me?
Well, I don't think the lights are too bright for him. I don't think that's the question. I think the question that they have to ask themselves at Hallis Hall is, what is this year? Is this year a year that we think we're going to make the playoffs and compete for a Super Bowl? If that's the case, then you play Justin Fields. Or they say to themselves, is this the year where we're kind of rebuilding? We have a shaky O-line. We have a rookie quarterback that we want to get some time to take some snaps and to work on some things not under the lights. Well, then you start Andy Dalton and you just say that this year is, you know, a developmental year from Fields. But that's
they don't believe that.
Well, if they don't believe that, then you play the best quarterback, and the best quarterback's Justin Fields. Like, they talk out of both sides of their mouths. There's only one way to go. If you really think you're competing to win games, then you play Justin Fields. Anybody that's watched 2 minutes of the preseason can tell you that.
Jeff, you agree?
Listen, I can see the argument why a head coach who's trying to maximize every single victory would go to Andy Dalton in the start of the season. Do I think it's best for the franchise's overall health? No. I think you need to find out from the get-go what Justin Fields is, because I think we all know exactly what Andy Dalton is in the NFL. He's a quarterback who might be able to win you 10 games with the right surrounding cast, but ultimately, if he gets you to the playoffs, you know exactly what's going to happen. Play better teams. Andy Dalton cannot beat better teams. He cannot beat better defenses. And so ultimately, I think the quicker you expedite Justin Fields' development, the better. You know what? It might be best for his development to go ahead and face the Rams in week 1 against one of the what was the best defense in the NFL last year? And you know what? There's nowhere to go for, nowhere to go but up, even if you have a bad opener.
So are you good with six wins if Justin Fields starts?
Here's
whole season,
what,
or seven wins?
Okay, here's what I would like.
Because what do you think that? What do you think Fields, a rookie, would be like with this team? Well, he's got to establish a rapport. Well, he hasn't had enough. Well, hasn't had enough snaps with the ones to know whether or not he could pay dividends for the team or not. How do we know?
I would like to see them go, you know what? We haven't seen enough from our guys. And while I would like to rest everyone in the final preseason game, I am going to play Justin Fields with the ones. Right now, Andy Dalton's our starter. I know what Andy can do. He's been around forever, 11 years or whatever. I'm going to play all the guys Saturday that are healthy, whether that's James Daniels, Allen Robinson, whatever. They're football players. They play. I have not seen enough continuity. And to make the best decision for our team, I'd like to see what Justin does with all of our number one guys out there. If at the end of that day I go, he's just not ready, folks. Okay, that's fine. I can live with that. But please, give the kid a chance to play with guys not named Bob Smith, who will be at UPS next week. And
yeah.
John Jones, who's going to be an accountant working locally. Come on, what are we doing?
But, Jeff, for perspective, Jeff, let's take a look at some of the young quarterbacks with teams that are not going anywhere. Like Joe Burrow, I saw him practicing, man. He's got the big brace on, but they expect him back for week one. Wilson for the Jets. Trevor Lawrence with Jacksonville. So those teams aren't going anywhere anytime soon. But if you press into service a young quarterback like Justin Fields with a Bears team that I think is pretty good, does that mean the team regresses, stays the same, or get better? That's the big question. I don't know if the Bears know the answer to that.
I personally think that, look, what he can do on the field, I think he makes them a better team eventually. You know, I think there's going to be a learning curve. There always is. Any player who's ever played in the NFL at the quarterback position will tell you it's the game has to slow down for you.
Yeah.
Will it ever slow down for Justin Fields? That's the question. Hopefully it will. And, you know, because despite what we saw on Saturday, I am skeptical the game will ever slow down for Mitch Trubisky. Mitch right. Trubisky has difficulty reading the field, right?
Yeah.
Justin Fields, from what we've seen in college, I think he can do it at this level. But it's going to take those live reps in real games that count against non-vanilla defenses before he actually gets an opportunity to show you whether or not he can do it at that level. And until he gets those real game reps in regular season, I don't think a whole lot matters. It's kind of just waiting around until we actually get the opportunity to do it. Again, though, I can understand why Matt Nagy, who wants to win as many games as possible this year, is like, you know what? I need to give him 3, 4, 5 games to kind of read it from the sidelines, and then we can go down and break down film the next Monday and Tuesday with him, show him what Andy Dalton did and what he didn't do and what we liked about it, and then we'll say, okay, then we'll throw him into the fire in week 5 or 6.
Yeah, well, guess what? This is not 1994. This is freaking 2021. Really? Deshaun Watson could start. He came in at halftime of week 1. Week 1.
I get it. I
mean, Russell Wilson was a third-round pick. He was starting week 1. This is not 1970. Well, you're going to sit, you're going to learn, you're going to get in shape. No. This is 2021. What we're doing, I think, is ridiculous after what I saw on Saturday. CM Punk is awesome. CM Punk was out of retirement on Friday night. You saw people crying
yes.
at the United Center, 19,000 people, as he made his return to the ring. He's going to join us live next.
Take that.
Watch on the ESPN 1000 Chicago channel on Twitch. Tap in Jay Hooter and Vernon Hills as fans board the shuttles for training camp on ESPN 1000.
Cap. What a night at the United Center on Friday. The audio we're playing from the United Center on Friday for AEW Rampage doesn't even do justice to what we heard. I was there at the UC. It was one of the great moments in my life as a wrestling fan. And you know why? Because CM Punk is back. Yes! Awesome night. Awesome night.
And so you were there. I'm looking at SportsCenter. They show a guy literally sobbing.
Yeah.
Like sobbing. Like you heard the crowd cheering. There's 19,000 people. Oh, my God, CM Punk is back. There, our guy, CM Punk, joins the show. Okay, so I texted you Saturday morning, and I said, dude, there are people on TV sobbing that you're back. What does that mean to you when you see the outpouring of affection for you?
I'm a Chicago guy. I'm a Chicago sports guy. I cried when the Cubs won the World Series. I cried when the Blackhawks won the Cup. You know, the time I was alive when they won the Cup, not back in the 60s. You know, it means a lot. And I think it means a lot because I'm so attached to Chicago and sports especially, you know. I understand. So anybody making fun of that dude, you know, you're making fun of me too. You know, like there's nothing wrong with being emotional at sporting events or anything you like. You know, like I'll cry at a Marvel movie.
Now that's what's been missing in professional wrestling for a while, Punk, and that is the raw emotion. And I was around it on Friday. So where do you place Friday night amongst the best days or nights you've had the last 7 years?
I mean, over the last 7 years, I'll take it back further, honestly. Like, I was discussing this with a couple of my friends. That might have been the greatest moment, the greatest night of my career.
Tell us why. Because there was a lot of emotion in that room. I was there. Why was that the best for you?
So, it just the entire night couldn't have gone more perfect. You know, the way we set it up as the worst-kept secret, selling out the United Center on a rumor that I was going to be there, never announced, never advertised, it shows the connection to the fan base that AEW has, that they get it, right? They want to be involved, they want to be entertained, they want to go up to shows and have a good time. So we didn't feel the need to beat them over the head to get a TV rating. And don't get me wrong, I know executives at TNT love their they love their ratings, you know. But to me, pro wrestling has always been about moments and getting people to feel something. It was a perfect storm, perfect night. The way I debuted, everybody being super positive backstage. I met so many new people. You know, having my family with me, I could go on and on. It was the perfect night and the perfect moment for so many reasons, you know. And I'm just talking personally. You know, publicly, I think it's a smashing success. You know, a lot of people love YouTube views and likes and clicks and all that stuff, and that stuff doesn't really matter to me all that much. But it's a big deal to a lot of people. I know the metrics, and the analytics people love that kind of stuff. But, you know, to me, it was just about making people happy. You know, I gave people ice cream, you know, just like John Lester is giving people beer when he's leaving the city. You know, like, I'm back, and I want to show the fans how thankful I am that they waited for 7 years.
Okay, so I tweeted that you were coming on, and, you know, it's blowing up. I mean, hundreds of likes, and, oh, my God, can't wait to hear him on the radio. And then one of our P1 listeners, Tom Gilmartin, said, I can't wait to hear CM Punk with you guys. My son and I went. It was the most awesome moment ever. My son wore the CM Punk t-shirt for 3 straight days afterwards. Like, another guy, a friend of mine called me. He was there. He's like, dude, you're having Punk on? He's like, that for me, this is my buddy who's a huge Chicago sports fan. That for me was like Michael Jordan coming back after his first retirement. When you hear all that, that's got to make you emotional to be put in that level.
Yes, yes. You know, there's a giant part of me that's always going to be like, no, Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player of all time.
They got a statue of the guy out in front of the United Center. But the way I've been embraced and the reaction has been off the charts. If people want to put me in that conversation, I'll let them, because, you know, it feels good. I'm not going to lie. But I think within pro wrestling currently, you know, who else is there? I'm back, just like Michael Jordan came back, and just like he came back to win some championships, I came back to win championships. And that could mean in the ring, outside the ring, help this thing grow and just have a good time and just really so much positive steam off this. I want to keep it rolling.
Chicago's own CM Punk with Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app as we broadcast live from Buttermilk Cafe in Vernon Hills. Punk, what impressed you most about the roster of AEW as you watch this, like we have been watching all week? What impressed you most about All Elite as far as their roster is concerned?
It's a very young roster, and the youthful exuberance, you know, it reminds me of another love of my life, which is punk rock, you know? It reminds me of all the kids that used to go to punk rock shows and bowling alleys and, you know, VFW halls and stuff. And they really found a place where they, man, I really fit in here, you know, and they feel at home. And that's what impressed me the most. It's great that everybody's nice. It's great that everybody's happy to see you. I understand that maybe some of that might be, you know, some honeymoon phase, but I really feel optimistic that it's not. They are young and they're hungry, and what they lack in experience, you know, they make up for with effort, and that's just tremendous. You know, I look at it like I'm the veteran slugger on a major league team, and I'm coming onto this team that's just full of prospects, you know, and a lot of people maybe count them out, but they're so eager to go out there and not only entertain the fans, but they want to have fun doing it. And I think when the performers in the ring are having a good time, I think that resonates, and I think the fans can see that, and it helps enjoy the moment.
Okay, so one of our listeners, Michael Piff, says, which all-time Blackhawks player would you want to team up with in a tag team match, no disqualifications?
Oh, man. I mean, Probert was a Hawk. Why wouldn't
That's
I just
right.
say Bob Probert?
Yeah, and a badass.
Yeah.
I would go with Bob Probert, too, wouldn't you?
Bob Probert would be amazing.
Fleury? Anybody?
Yeah, a little Theo Fleury
yeah.
action.
Yeah.
That guy was a maniac. He was like 5'4". He's out of his mind. Yes.
I mean, there's a few of them over the years. There's a few maniacs. You know, Manson. I could go on and on.
He's going to tag with Manson. That'd be good. Punk, you have not talked publicly about what's going on with your Cubs also. There's a transition, no Baez, no Bryant, no Rizzo. And so Cap and I have been talking about this, and I said, you know, if a team can't hit, if they've had trouble since 16 hitting the baseball, you have to change some of the parts. And unfortunately, instead of just changing parts incrementally, they decided to just get rid of all the key players. What was your initial reaction to that whole trade deadline? No Baez, no the core of the 16 championship no longer here.
Yeah, well, the reason I've been quiet is because if you got nothing good to say, don't say anything. I've been I've been angry, sad, depressed, you know, but I'm a Cubs fan. My entire life, they've sucked, right? So I guess it's back to square one, but it's just disappointing to, you know, I know there's politics involved, and I know there's a lot of money, you know, behind the scenes and stuff like that. And maybe there's a sliver of me that's holding out hope that all these guys in the offseason are going to re-sign, and they pulled the wool over everybody's eyes like it was some sort of play to get everybody else's prospects in a trade. But, like, I get it, but it's really deflating to watch that team throw a combined no-hitter and then go on this amazing slump. It's not even about the players getting traded away. It's just, like, it's the entire spirit of the team seems like it's been crushed. Like, when they take the field, when they play, like, it's hard to watch, and it really, really sucks. As a fan, it's depressing.
You're more than welcome to come over to 35th and Vec. It's the AEW baseball in this town now. You know that, right? The White Sox?
The who?
Hey, let me ask you, you've been around sports a long, long time. Would you start Justin Fields, even though he's raw, or would you start Andy Dalton?
They got the Rams in the first game?
Yes.
Man, that's a good question. You know, I think if you're a team and you're doing a rebuild, it's just like the Hawks starting Lankinen, right? Like, you got to, at some point, have faith in your guys and see what they have. You know, you're never going to know. I look at it like this. I would start Fields, you know, and you could say he's not ready, but what makes you a great quarterback or, you know, captain or, you know, leader of a baseball team, whatever, you know, in my career, I've never been ready. I was never ready to step in the ring the first time. I was never ready to fight at UFC. I was never ready to do jiu-jitsu competitions. I always felt like I wasn't ready. But when are you ready? Sometimes you just got to go, and that's what gets you ready. You just got to be ready, you know, and you'll never feel like you are, and maybe Justin will feel like he is, but you got to take a chance on the new guy. You absolutely have to.
Punk, you're going to be at Hoffman Estates at the Now Arena to take on Darby Allin. And so, Cap, you know that Punk's a Chicago guy, and here's why. I was on the post-match press conference with him and Tony Khan, and someone asked him about, you know, getting ready for Darby Allin. And just like a Chicago guy, Punk was like, yeah, I haven't really been working out for this. I'm just going to just wing it because it's like riding a bicycle when you're wrestling. So what is your preparation for Darby Allin? You've seen this young guy. What are your expectations against this young rising star for AEW?
You know, I think it's a lot of can Punk still go? Can Punk still wrestle in the ring? Can he be entertaining? Fortunately for me, I was never a guy that did like a whole bunch of crazy flips and stuff like that. So I don't have to go back and try to do these amazing athletic feats. You know, my goal is to tell a story. And the way I get ready for this is I watch a lot of Darby Allin matches. You know, it's no different than a sports team watching tape on the team that they're playing. I watch him, I see what he can do. And then I get to get creative about it, you know, and that's how I get ready. And obviously, you know, I'm in a television show called Heels that's on the Stars Network, too. I've been in the ring, you know, we're filming wrestling. I have gotten in the ring and I have been training, but not super extensively because it beats your body up. So I'm trying to be smart about it. But mostly just watching tape on him, you know, and I'm impressed by what I see.
Hey, man, we really appreciate you taking time for us. We'd love to, when you get a chance, have you in the studio. But great to see you back doing what you do so well. And you made a lot of people very happy. Millions of them.
Well, I appreciate the love from both of you. Cap, you know I'm your guy. Whenever you need me, you just reach out. And it would be my pleasure to show up in studio sometime.
You're the best. Have a great day.
Thank you for a great night on Friday. I can't wait to see you again.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
See him. There he is. That's our guy, CM Punk. Been a good friend and a really, really wonderful dude. And Friday night was massive for the sport. All right, we'll take a quick time out. We'll be right back.
Get a number if you get a chance. Get a number.
Northwestern football is Chicago's Big Ten team. NU returns to Ryan Field Friday, September 3rd, when they host Michigan State. Kickoff at 8 p.m. Buy tickets now at NUSports.com.
Take that.
Cap'n G Hooter and Vernon Hills at Buttermilk Cafe, just down the road from training camp.
Hey, pass the syrup, please.
On ESPN 1000.
All right, welcome back in to Buttermilk Cafe in Vernon Hills. They've been a great host for us for several of our shows during Bears practices going on up in Lake Forest. We don't call it training camp. The Bears are going to play the Rams in week one, and we were chopping it up in the IDOT bullpen hoodie. By the way, driving responsibly in construction and work zones really is a matter of life or death. Learn more online or through social media at lifeordeathillinois.com. We'll get to our one call in a moment. Warren Sharp, I follow Sharp Football.
So do I.
He said the same defense everyone wants to save Justin Fields from in week one allowed
Jimmy G to throw three TDs with no sacks or interceptions in a Week 6 loss last year. Lost to Nick Mullins in Week 12. Oh, and allowed Sam Darnold his best game of the year and let Adam Gase win his first game of the year in Week 15. So what are we doing here? Oh, God. We don't want him to get hit by Aaron Donald. Well, of course you don't. So does he not play Week 3 either because Myles Garrett might rip his head off? Does he not play against, name the guys that the Packers have, Za'Darius Smith or any of them? I mean, he's a professional football player. You either play or you don't play.
I mean, this whole thing where we have to wrap up certain athletes in bubble wrap because you're afraid of them getting hurt, this is what I was talking about earlier. This whole thing where you want to take physicality out of football. Well, we got to make sure that this guy didn't get hurt. It's football, man. It's football.
That's it.
You know what? Pain is inevitable, and so is getting injured. You think the Bengals wanted Joe Burrow out there hopping around and getting injured and missing the majority, the back end of the season? No. They want to be out there, but it's football. It's going to happen. I'm not looking forward to it happening. And the hope is that when Justin Fields takes on the ones, whenever that is, that he'll be healthy enough to get it done and he won't get injured. But, I mean, again, you can't wrap these athletes in bubble wrap.
You cannot. Well said. James at Gurney, what's up, Sparkles?
What's up, fellas? How are you doing today, man?
How you doing?
What's up, James?
I'm good. Hey, listen, real quick. I don't want to hear this narrative anymore that Justin's not ready. You're telling me Kyler Murray was ready after 1 year after Baker Mayfield and Steven Jackson was ready? That's all BS. Having said that, let's just pray that on Sunday, it's really simple. Me and my buddy were talking. It's really simple. How do you beat Mitch Trubisky? You stack the box, you press the receivers, you get him to read two and three. If you see them throw down the field, I'm happy for the kid. You see him throw down the field, he missed some targets. So having said that, I just hope it was a valid defense, because if not, if they had 4 years of tape on this kid, if they couldn't figure out how to beat Mitch Trubisky, we're in a lot of trouble. But that whole he's not ready, it's just BS, and I don't want to hear it no more. So what do you guys think? Have a good day.
Well, the whole Mitch Trubisky thing, his narrative is yet to be written post-Chicago. One preseason game with a bunch of starters not playing on either side is not it. Now, are people concerned because Mitch looked really good? Yeah, because it destroys the narrative that Mitch was the problem. But is Mitch going to ever be a starter in this league again? We don't know that. Remains to be seen.
We're running low on time here for this Bears Monday, but tomorrow, because that's why we have 5 days together, I want to talk to you tomorrow about not necessarily Fields being ready, but the Bears being ready. Are the Bears equipped to take care of Justin Fields? I'll delve into that a little bit. That's a 24-hour tease.
Deal. We'll chop that up tomorrow.
I'm going to write that down for us to talk about, because that's a long-form conversation you want to have with you. Because we keep talking about, you know, they'll start Justin Fields when he's ready. But are the Bears ready? Talking about Nagy, the coaching staff, the offense. Is the offense ready for Justin to take over?
We'll chop it up tomorrow.
Let's talk about that.
All right.
Stop saying chop it up. Stop saying it.
That's my term. You're my dude. Come on. You know that. All right. We'll take a quick time out. We'll crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko in 2 minutes.